Here's your host, Sarah Zink.
Ah, the elusive confidence factor. You know, it's interesting because I spent a minute the other day looking up confidence, and the definition that I found was the feeling or belief that we can rely on someone or something, that we have a firm trust, faith, a conviction that something that we think is true. And I was thinking about how that applies to us, and particularly as women. How does that conviction, that feeling, that belief apply to us? And I realized, and bear with me because I swear I'm going somewhere with this. I think all too often we're really relying on how we feel, and women, we have a ton of emotions, but that doesn't necessarily make us emotionally intelligent. And I, like other women, struggle with, I don't feel confident today. I don't feel like I can get this done. I don't feel like I'm worthy or good enough or smart enough or fast enough. And what then? You know, we've been taught so many different things culturally, and it applies, I think, to men and women, but I think women struggle in different ways. And one of the ways that I know that we struggle is that we, as women, think we have to feel a certain way to be a certain thing. And if I don't feel pretty, I'm not pretty. If I don't feel competent, I'm not competent. And if I don't feel confident, well, then clearly I can't be confident. And that is, in effect, a lie. And I, while I am not the expert on the topic, I certainly defer and am delighted to have access to folks who are more enlightened on this topic than I am. And today is my opportunity to reintroduce you to a regular guest on the show, Joanne Marceau, who is a certified results coach, and she has delightfully agreed to do a series, and we are on segment 6 of 7 on the lies that we've been told about confidence, and today we're going to have that conversation about what then if we don't feel confident, what then? So if you would, join me as we welcome back to the show, Coach Joanne Marceau. Good morning, Joanne. Thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning, Sarah. Thanks for having me here this morning. It's always a pleasure.
I know I seriously need to make coffee one of the office supplies that we offer. One of the services, just one of the many services we offer. More coffee. You would, really the IV drip over in the corner. If you would, take a moment and let the listeners know several things. I'd love for them to know a little bit more about you, your history and background, and then what really propelled you into the world of coaching.
It's a great story. I'll keep it short. I have been coaching it's more than 4 years now. And I left a 30-year corporate career 4 years ago and started my coaching career. And how it came about is that I had a fairly ugly divorce after 20 years of marriage. And we ended that divorce as friends and created a new kind of relationship. And out of the coaching that I received and the experience of that and being able to shift my thinking when I needed to ensure that I had a great experience with something that I would have preferred not happen, my friend said, Joanne, you need to teach other people how to do what you just did. And that was what planted the seed for me to become a coach. So that's how I arrived here. And now I help people. Professionals shift their thinking so they get what they want.
You know, it's always been a pleasure since you and I have met to have these conversations, because I'll never forget the first thing you said to me on the first show that you were on was, what are you willing to think differently about? And I find that logic flawless in that too often it is what's going on between our ears, and it's not our circumstances, our skills, it's none of that. It's what's going on between our ears. And so today we're going to have that conversation in the context of confidence. So the lie that we're going to talk about today in the series of 7 lies that you put out as being what keeps us from achieving our dreams is that we need to feel more confident before we can take action. So would you talk a little bit about that lie? And what is up with that? why are we stuck there?
Well, we're stuck there with a lot of things in addition to confidence. And for many of us, myself included, if I'm not being really aware of my thinking, we think that we are our feelings. So there's a real distinction that's important for our conversation today, which is to have your feelings, but not allow your feelings to have you. And the same is true about confidence. Do you have confidence, or do you believe that your lack of confidence really has you? It is in looking really carefully at that sense of feeling and whether it's a warning sign or whether it really means, like a warning sign like the saber-toothed tiger is going to come and eat you, which in that case, confidence is on a different, you know, it takes up a different level. but is it just telling you, that sense that I don't have enough confidence, is it just telling you that you're doing something new, that you're at a growing edge of what is familiar for you, and that it's simply an indication that it's new? It doesn't mean that you don't necessarily have confidence. And so the best way to approach a new situation, as long as it's not life-threatening, is to take an action. Take an action into that new environment, into that new skill set that you're required to develop, into that new relationship you're experiencing, whether at work or personal. But to take that one baby step in is what allows you to begin to build your confidence in that new environment.
And so really what you're talking about is, you know, we're measuring ourselves. And this is something that came to light, and I thought it was so appropriate because of our conversation about confidence. We watch the Olympics, and I think we approach life like the Olympics. We're watching the Olympics, and I was watching the divers the other day. And their skill to jump on that board and then to do these amazing flips and turns and spins and then still land in the water correctly was, it's mind-boggling to me. And someone made a comment, the conversation started saying, we should have an average person in the Olympics so that we can have a frame of reference. And I think in life, and that's where I think this comes into play, in that I don't feel confident because I may see you being a coach, or I may see you talking, or I may see you managing a project, and I don't feel like I measure up, or we're comparing, or it's my first time to try it. And so you made the comment in an email exchange that we had that our experience with confidence tends to be grounded in how we have measured our progress. So if it's my first time to try it, I have no measurement, and I'm going to compare my first try to your 50th. And so would you elaborate on that just a little bit?
I would absolutely love to elaborate, because this is a new awareness for me, this whole concept of how we choose to compare our progress. And I must have learned this as a kid, or found out that this was the way that I could live in a very dynamic and changing world as a sales executive in a corporate arena, is that we as humans have basically two ways in which we compare our progress toward a goal, any goal, doesn't matter whether it's work or personal or physical fitness, whatever it is. We either compare ourselves in the moment to the final outcome, wherever that is, so a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 years from now. We either compare our current state to that final goal, or we compare ourselves to our progress from yesterday. So we have a choice. We compare ourselves out into the future and try to motivate ourselves from that, or we compare ourselves to our progress from yesterday and celebrate that progress. One is very, very painful, which is the comparing ourselves to the future that we hope will happen someday. You heard me say this before. There's no cheese in that hole. It is not satisfying to compare yourself to something that's going to happen. On the other side, to compare yourself and celebrate your victories over yesterday, the ground you've taken, the little baby steps, that is actually very satisfying to our brains, to our neurochemistry, and that's what actually allows us to stay motivated and continue to build on that sense of confidence that we're seeking. It's much more satisfying to compare yourself to your most recent success over yesterday, or the day before, or even the week before.
That's kind of
a dirty little secret they don't tell you when you're in those time management programs. So I just want to point that out.
Yeah, well, and I think all too often we're comparing ourselves to the ultimate goal that, you know, okay, I want to lose 40 pounds. Well, I just lost a pound this week. You know what's funny? And I want to use that weight loss example. If we only lose a pound, we're so disappointed. But if we gain a pound, we freak out. That pound, depending on which way it goes, is you know, good or evil. It's kind of like, what? You're freaking out over gaining a pound, but if you lose a pound, you blow it off. It's just how I think we're hardwired sometimes. But I would love for you to talk about another perspective that you brought to my attention was the ow brain versus the wow brain, how that plays into our confidence factor.
Well, this is actually work that I learned from Todd Herman, just to give acknowledgement where acknowledgement is due, the concept of ow brain and wow brain. And the ow brain is the comparison to the ultimate goal or the ultimate 40 pounds of weight that you intend to lose, and compare it to the 1 pound, to just the 1 pound that you lost today, and be disappointed with that. And that's the owl brain. It's very, very painful, and it often causes us to stop moving toward our goal. The wow brain is actually the experience of comparing yourself to the actions you've taken and the successes you've had compared to yesterday or the day before, and to celebrate that. I think we tend to be taught somewhere along the line that it's arrogant maybe, or that there's something wrong with celebrating our small successes along the way. So we wait. We wait and say, we'll have the big party when we're finished. And what happens with our neurochemistry is we can't even imagine the path to getting to the big party when we're finished, especially if we're working by ourselves. And so the capacity to, the ability to allow each of us to celebrate, authentically celebrate progress we've taken, even in the last week, is we love it. Internally, our brains just love a party. And so it's a real wow experience. Like, look at your to-do list and the important things that you've done and really celebrate that. Now, the counter side of that, and I need to point out, the counter side of that is a downfall. And you've heard me say that every coin has two sides. Even your greatest strength has a pitfall to it in equal measure. So the downside is, if you're working in a to-do list, it's important to not celebrate all the tick marks on the to-do list. And we've talked about this, adding, after you've done something, adding it to the to-do list so you can check it off. So this is not that, right?
There's a new technique I need to try.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I got up this morning, check. I had coffee, check.
That's right.
Man, I am nailing the to-do list.
This is about accomplishing steps in the direction of your highest priority. So you're looking at that priority, that ultimate goal, and you're celebrating the steps that you've taken in the direction of that goal, because you know that those steps will eventually deliver you to that ultimate goal. The athlete celebrates nailing the dive, in your example, off the 3-foot board before they go to the, whatever it is, the 30-foot board.
I would also say that we're not taught how to do that either in school or college, or, I mean, this is a life skill, you know, and I use weight because that just seems to be the ad nauseum thing that women work on. I would give a year, and I think, you know, towards the end of this year, when we talk about personal strategic planning, Joanne, can we challenge women to not make weight loss a goal, but to work on internal things next year?
Oh, absolutely.
I swear, please, no more weight loss goals. But I think people can understand
the inside work.
Yeah, can we do the inside work first?
Do the inside work first.
I know, because I can only just say, I know this is a segue and I promise we'll get back. I mean, I've lost 140 pounds and I'm just telling you, it doesn't change what's inside. It just changes the skin sack, okay? And so, I mean, I still had to do all the internal work too. Okay, back to the topic. So when we're talking about the goals and confidence, so let's say I want to be more proficient in public speaking, and but I don't feel confident, and so I'm going to lock up. This is, you and I see it all the time, where we lock up. And so what I hear you saying is that I'm going to set baby steps. So I'm going to make a point to introduce someone to a group. Like, I'm going to be the introducer. I'm not going to speak, but I'm going to get in front and say, okay, and I want to introduce Joanne Marceau, who's going to speak to us today. That we're taking these baby steps, and then I'm going to get up now, and then I'm going to make a presentation of a plaque, and then I'm going to get up and talk for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to get up and talk, versus I'm going to give a 30-minute presentation tomorrow.
That's exactly it.
Because what we do is, I think we're just overachievers, and that's why we fail. We just try to bite off too much.
I think what you said earlier, we're not trained to think this way. And when I work with clients, one of the things that we start every call with is an expression of gratitude, so something they're grateful for the day, week, whatever. Sometimes it's as simple as toothpaste, but it's gratitude. And one praise that they want to give themselves. So they have the opportunity to brag on themselves. And I have been absolutely amazed at the transformation that happens in people who initially, when we have the call, cannot think of one thing to praise themselves for. Even though they know the question's coming, they blank out. And so this confidence conversation is really digging into a deeper level where along the way, many of us get trained that it's more humble. It's more appropriate to not praise ourselves. And we lose a tremendous foundational piece by avoiding that, because it is in praising ourselves that we tell our brains what we want more of. And so praising ourselves is critical. This all wraps back into focusing on looking at opportunities to create that wow experience, to really praise ourselves daily for the little steps, the 1 pound, the dive off of the edge of the pool versus the 30-foot board. And it's okay. It actually works to move you along rather than staying stuck on a plateau, thinking that why go for that 30-minute speech? I can't even make a 2-minute introduction. Well, the answer is go make a 2-minute introduction. And then the next time you'll be able to make a 4-minute introduction. And then pretty soon you'll be doing that 30-minute speech. And you have to take that first step first. Whether you're confident or not, do the 2-minute introduction, just like you said. And the rest, have it stacked so you build into that ultimate goal. It's interesting. It's how athletes do it. But it's not necessarily how business people do it or entrepreneurs do it or professionals do it. We don't get trained.
No. Well, and I have to say, I mean, I make a confession. I can't tell you the number of times that I have stood up, and I'm sure you would confess the same thing. I cannot identify the number of times I've stood up to give a presentation where in my mind I'm screaming like a little baby going, I am not worthy. I'm not smart enough. I'm not ready. I'm not, you know, if you just knew what was going on in my head. But they don't know that. But I want to go back to the piece of feeling more confident and the just spend a minute or two on the, we have to, it's not enough as women for us to say, oh, we're socialized this way, or oh, the media, or oh, my mom, or oh, my dad, or whatever. I don't really care how we got here. Enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do care about is changing these habits. And I want to remind the listeners of what I consider to be one of the biggest habits to develop that you talked about is the ability for us to praise ourselves. Because we've been taught that it's vanity, that it's arrogance, that it's pride in a bad way, and that we need to be humble, we need to not be braggarts. I remember hearing that when I was younger, and there's no harm, no foul. I don't blame anybody for anything. I am a product of my own creation at this age. You know, I think that if we develop the habit of praising ourselves, even if it's just between our ears, even if we're just saying to ourselves, maybe we don't have the opportunity to have a coach. But that habit, Joanne, I'd like for you to reinforce just briefly to the listeners how that can actually transform someone's thinking and help them create the confidence that they desire.
Our thoughts become things. That's the bottom line. Our thoughts are packets of energy, and they attract like packets of energy. And so when we focus on our successes, we train our brain to look for more successes for ourselves. And it's just it's simple but not easy concept. It's a law of nature and physics that is why praising ourselves works, is because we get more of what we focus on. And that's a whole different show. And the way in which to build on that as it relates to today is to put some things into your practices that force you or encourage you to express confidence in yourself. Like I could say this morning, Sarah, you know what? I'm doing a great job on this call. My voice is working and I'm articulate. And you know what? I did a good job today. And that feels really comfortable to me. If I put that as a practice every time I talk to you, what an interesting concept that would be. So that's just an example. But there
and
are others.
Isn't
here
what we do? I've got to jump in here because I need
jump
you
in.
To comment yep. on this. I need you to comment on this. That's not what we do. What we do, and I see this happen all the time because guests regularly come back to me, and instead of saying, hey, I feel like I did a really good job on that, thank you for the opportunity, I get the email that says, oh my God, did I do okay? And they're looking for me to validate versus them to validate to me how they perceived that they did.
Exactly.
And I mean, we're talking about people who have been on my show 10 times are still asking me to validate. Not the first, which is understandable. They've never done it. But the 10th, they know they've done well. And this is what we do, I think, is I'm looking to you to validate me. I'm looking to you to give me confidence. So please, for just 1 minute, talk about that.
I think that's absolutely accurate. And I think it leads right back to what we're talking about, that we don't know how. We haven't been trained, or if we were trained, we've lost the skill to validate ourselves and to know that it's okay, that we're not, you know, it's not the B word, it's not arrogant. It is out of a place of true appreciation of our own talents. I think you've said it all. We are all masterpieces, and it's really being able to express that of ourselves, that self-appreciation. We can never outperform our own self-esteem. And self-esteem starts with appreciating who we are, all of us. You know, the dark side, the light side, whatever it is. And one of the ways that we practice appreciating ourselves is praising ourselves.
Nice. Well, we are out of time. I could talk about this all day, I'm sure, as could you. But I'd love for the listeners to know how they can connect with you, because through the beauty of technology, you can coach folks around the world. So will you let them know how they can reach out and connect with you directly?
The first is through my website, which is J Marceau, just the letter J, MARCEAU.com. And I am also on Facebook. If you type in Joanne Marceau, you'll find me. There aren't many out there. And I have a Facebook group called The Unstoppables. So it's The Unstoppables, plural. And we'll actually be posting this lie out on that Facebook group, so you can grab a copy of that if you want. And you know, asked to join, and I'm in the group on regular conversations about these kinds of topics. So those are the two ways that are easiest, jmarceau.com or the Facebook group, The Unstoppables.
Outstanding. Well, I can't thank you enough for making time to talk to me this morning, and I certainly look forward to our next opportunity. And I just believe that this particular topic is critical for everyone, but women in particular. So thank you again.
Thank you. It was great this morning. We were great this morning.
We were great this morning.